Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, listen, got to tell you about my friends at etaxbreaks.com. etaxbreaks.com. What a cool job they have. Can you imagine having a job where you get the joy of just finding people money they didn't know they qualified for? I mean, like for free, just finding them money. Hey, here's some money. You qualify for this. Did you know that? No, I didn't. Oh, here you go. That's what they do. 23 years of experience. The folks over there, I know them all personally. I saw them a few days ago, as a matter of fact. Etaxbreaks.com, they go out and they look at the way you run your business, and they find among the over 3,000 programs around the nation that give out grants and tax credits and tax incentives and that kind of thing, they just see whether you qualify. And they only get paid if they find you money. In July, they found over $7 million for their clients in 1 month. I'm just telling you, they are good at what they do, and it's worth finding out whether you qualify. Just check them out. They've got a special landing page. It's called etaxbreaks.com/rightside, just for our right side listeners. etaxbreaks.com/rightside. So we had this conversation a minute ago with State Senator Del Marsh about education. So listen, here's the deal. He said it, and I'll reiterate it. Alabama ranks last in the nation. It used to be we could say things like, well, thank God for Mississippi. Can't say it anymore. Mississippi actually spends, I believe they spend less per student than Alabama, but they have higher marks now than we do in overall performance. And that's wrong. That is awful on a variety of levels. But folks, listen, it used to be, and I'm looking at a piece written by my friend Parker Schneider over at the Alabama Policy Institute, and he pointed out that education has always been called the great equalizer because a good education is supposed to be the thing that can bring you up out of your conditions and level you off and take you to places you never could have gone without that education. And I do agree with that. I mean, I think an education is important. I don't believe that everyone has to have a college degree or has to have a white collar job. I mean, we need people in the trades. We need people with technical degrees. We need folks that are out there doing the thing that keeps our commerce running. However, there are aspects of education that transcend all vocations. And we've got to have an education system here that is stronger and more capable than what we are showing that we have right now. Last in the nation? Every educator in the state should be embarrassed by that. And when I say that, I am not casting dispersions upon classroom teachers. I'm not. But you shouldn't sit idly by and stand for it. Not at all. I mean, you should be saying, this is my industry, and we've got to do better. You've got to stop protecting your turf. You've got to stop kowtowing to what the teachers' union says. School boards have got to start being more creative. You've got to begin looking at your curriculum and your standards and begin putting things in place that help advance the cause far along. And don't try and tell me, and I always hate this argument, oh, we don't fund education appropriately. We fund it more now than we ever have, and we're still ranked 50th. There are 8 states that pay less per kid per year, and they rank higher than us. Money is not the object. It is not the issue. One of the things that I believe would drive the train is a thing called open enrollment. Open enrollment literally says, hey, you know what? Just because you live in a certain zip code is not going to restrict you to a school that you may or may not even like. How nuts is that? Listen, what if you were told you could only buy groceries at the store in your neighborhood? You couldn't drive across town. Excuse me? What if they don't have what I want there? Too bad. That's the one you have to go to. What if I told you could only buy cars at a car lot within a certain geographic radius of your home? That's not the car I want. I can't afford that one. Too bad. Well, why do we do it with education? You see, what I just described to you a minute ago was the free market. The free market drives the train. People will go to the better mousetrap. All right? The same is true with education. If a school is being creative, if a school's educators are really hitting the mark, if a school is doing all that it can with the resources that it has, if the school is engaging the parents and the parents are engaging the school, then I guarantee you those kids are going to be better off. But if they're not, if it ranks as one of our failing schools in Alabama, or if there's some environment there that a kid feels threatened by, something else that distracts from a good education, shouldn't you as a parent or legal guardian be allowed to say, you know what? Yeah, that school's not hitting it for my kid. And so we're going to drive over there to that school. You know, the one that has better marks, the one that has a better environment, the one that gets the job done. And what that's called the free market. Can you imagine a free market in the public school system? That's called open enrollment. That's a bill they passed in West Virginia just earlier this year. It's a first in the nation. It's the most extensive school choice legislation passed anywhere. It was in West Virginia, a place where they still have a Democrat U.S. senator. And folks, I'm just going to tell you, that's the kind of thing we have to have happen. We have got to get to the point that the teachers' unions are not driving the train on curriculum, because they don't have anything. The teachers' union don't have anything in terms of what it would take to get good education done. All they care about is getting their power base and their benefits and their tax and their pay increases. And sometimes those things are super important, and sometimes they just distract. But we've got to get to the point that we allow some measure of choice so that parents and legal guardians can decide what is best for their child. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. You want to call in, talk about it, 866-494-9866. It's 866-494-9866. We'll take calls and talk about it more when I get back. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Phone lines lit up, so in just a minute I'm going to the phones, taking some calls, doing the best I can to take them in the order in which they came. We're talking about education in Alabama. It's a sore topic for some because people don't like to rock the boat. They don't want to see change. But then again, we're number 50 out of 50 states. So what are you supposed to do? I mean, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. I'm looking right now at a report that just literally shows that in just 2021 alone, we've had Montana, Florida, Indiana, Arkansas, West Virginia, all these states are passing major school choice reforms because they know they've got to do things a little differently in order to move things forward. So let me do this. I'm going to go to the phones here, take some calls. Some will agree and some will probably disagree, but let's see what they have to say. So I'm going to go to line three, Scott from Decatur. Hey, Scott, Phil Williams on Right Side Radio. What's on your mind?
Yeah, so I got to disagree with the school choice and being able to shift students around so easily.
Okay.
Schools only have so much resource. If you have people freely moving from one to another, you swamp a good school, abandoning a bad school. The real thing we need to do is hold teachers more accountable and fire teachers who are failing to perform.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I mean, I do believe there needs to be some merit in this. I remember a few years ago, I said on the show the other day, when the teacher of the year in Autauga County was actually fired in a reduction in force. I mean, it was, you know, she was basically let go because they were reducing their force because she was the teacher of the year, but she did not have tenure, whereas senior teachers who were not as good as her were kept. So that part, I do agree, has to be changed, Scott. But the other piece of this, though, is you've got to do something, and that free market mentality has got to come in. If the mousetrap is better down the road, that's just because the one that you're in right now was not as good.
Fire the union and make the free market the teachers.
Well, I think that I could live with. I mean, getting rid of the union would be fine by me. Scott, I appreciate the call. I got several stacked up right now. If you don't mind, I'm going to go take some others. But stay in the audience and call in anytime. We appreciate you. I'm going to go to James in Russellville. Hey, James, Phil Williams on Right Side Radio. What's on your mind?
Hey, I was listening to your radio broadcast about open enrollment. I'm not originally from Alabama. Lived in Wisconsin my entire life, and we've had open enrollment in Wisconsin since 2011.
Wow.
And so I don't know where Wisconsin ranks in the school rankings, but I know it was good for my kids. And now that I have grandkids and my daughter is moving down here with my grandkids, I think open enrollment is a good thing because it helped educate my kids better. I was able to send them to a better school and get a better education.
So that's cool. So, James, let me ask you this. So are you saying you personally were zoned for one school, but you chose to move your kids to another just because you thought it was better for them? Is that what you did?
Correct. Yep. I lived in one town and moved them to it. We didn't move. We just drove them to school every day and let them go there.
Which I'll be honest with you, that means you probably had to make a little bit of a sacrifice to get them there every day. But that's what parents should have the right to do. And I think that's huge. James, by the way, welcome to Alabama.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Appreciate your call, man. James from Russellville. All right, let me jump on down to Edward from Madison. Edward from Madison. Phil Williams here on Right Side Radio. What's on your mind?
Hi. I'm all for school of choice and open enrollment. I think that's fantastic. Although the concerns I have is your first caller did talk about the good schools getting swamped, so there probably has to be some kind of cap put on student body per school. I happen to be in Madison, Alabama, and we have very good schools, but we pay quite a bit of money for it. So there has to be some kind of funding stream that comes with the students from the state, and every school might not get the same funding stream, but we pay dearly for our schools. And so open enrollment, school choice, great, but if you don't live in Madison, we have to receive we'd be compensated reasonably because I don't believe we should be paying for everybody within the state, if you know what I mean.
No, that's reasonable, Edward. Great point. So you're right. Some local communities have an additional local ad valorem tax or something like that that helps fund their local schools above and beyond that which the state provides. And I do believe that part of what Senator Marsh's bill would have considered last year or last session was that if you are wanting to move your kids to a different location, that your tax dollars, your state tax dollars, would go with you, but you would have to plus up by paying a fee in terms of what you should have paid in taxes if you had lived in that community. So I think that's a reasonable point, and I think that would probably be considered in any legislation. So, yeah, great point, Edward. Appreciate that call. And you're right, Madison City Schools, great community, a lot going on there. All right, listen, I'm going to move down. I got Jeff from Indiana, and then I'll hit line one after that. Jeff from Indiana, my brother, how you doing, man?
Doing good, Phil.
Good.
Hey,
what's on your mind?
We have school choice in Indiana.
Yes, you do.
But even with school choice, it doesn't solve the problem. I mean, you can shuffle from a better school than the – well, in our county, we have three separate public school systems. And we have less than 20,000 people in the county. And basically, schools are gagging in money. It don't go to the kids. It goes to the administration. We have three separate superintendents, each making over $100,000 a year. So in a county of that size, we got, you know, over $250,000 going to three people. You know, think about how – and then they couldn't buy a – my wife used to be a teacher's assistant, Steph, and they – they couldn't buy paper clips or staples, you know, but they could afford, you know, $300,000 for superintendents.
Yeah, and it's funny too, Jeff, when you see additional monies come in. Like, I remember one of the schools in my area here in one of the more affluent neighborhoods, it was not what they called a Title I school, meaning that Title I schools in certain, you know, geographic areas, they get additional federal funding, and so they'll have flat screen TVs in all the classrooms and different things like that, whereas the one in the more affluent neighborhood, they're relying on the PTA to sell magazines and that kind of stuff to bring in extra money. But nonetheless... Yeah. What you mentioned a moment ago is true. A lot of money goes into paying the administrative costs, sometimes higher than anyone would have imagined. But we've got to have the ability for people to shop that and find the one that is best for their child. And you're right, Indiana's been leading the way on some of their legislation. They've got a voucher program up there, I believe, that's pretty solid.
Yeah, I mean, it's completely ridiculous how much money they paid. I mean, we had one... part-time superintendent, and since he wasn't going to fill out his full term, he was already retired, they gave him like 3 years of sick pay leave.
Oh,
he was only making $100,000, but they nested his egg where he could have just took off and not even worried about it for the next 3 years. He had that many, they gave him that many sick days.
And I guarantee you that was something the teachers union helped put in place for them to be able to sell back their leave, I guarantee you. And that's a raid on the taxpayer dollar right there.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Jeff, thanks for the call, man. I got a couple more waiting on the line to try and get them before the break, but we appreciate you as always. Let me go to Robert in Decatur. Hey, Robert, line one in Decatur. Phil Williams here on Right Side Radio. What's on your mind?
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Hey, I'm just going to say that, look, my kids are homeschooled. And I look, if you put them in a, if you put the system, and I've carried them. I've got friends, that family that teach in public school system, too. And I'm not trying to denigrate. So I'm not trying to denigrate the public school system. But look, when you got a court and that's dictating what has to be taught in school, what's going to be taught in school, whether it's CRT or anything, you know, all the BLM, everything, Antifa, or anything else, if they're going to take these positions, social positions are being taught in the school. That hurts the school. And my kids do our homeschool. They use a really hard material. They use a Becca completely. My wife's from Taiwan. She's an Asian, and she believes in education, and she does the complete number of days. There's no snow days, I can guarantee you. She'd have kicked me out of homeschool. But she's tough, but they go through the curriculum, and they learn, and they're involved in other programs, violin, a lot of other activities. But and the cost of the materials, they use very tough materials, and the cost of the materials is so much less. Now, we make a choice. My wife homeschools, and she doesn't work a public job now to do this. But the truth of the matter is, she don't get the CRT and the BLM and the Antifa and the latest fad. She gets education. And that's the problem with the education system. And just putting more money in it, or even, you know, giving choice, if the choice is still teaching the same crap, what you going to get?
Well, Robert, your point is well taken about keeping the social justice issues out of the classroom, because it's one thing to teach kids not to bully. It's another thing to teach them that they have privilege because of the way they're born, or that they're a victim because of the way they're born. And and I appreciate you taking such an active role in your own kids' education. So, Robert from Decatur, thanks for being on the line with us today. We appreciate that very much. I'm going to take one more call before we hit the break. Robert from ARAB on line two. Hey, Robert, Phil Williams from Right Side Radio. What's on your mind?
Yeah, real quick. I know you're up against a break. I don't technically live in ARAB. I live in the county, and we actually have to pay for our kids to go to ARAB if you want to go to ARAB. So, just to answer one of your previous callers, there is a fee that comes along, a yearly fee. Second of all, for the left, who loves to embrace Scandinavian countries, Sweden is 10th in the world, and they have full school choice.
Do they really? So, is that Sweden?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to check that out then. I appreciate it. Robert from ARAB, thanks for being in the audience, man. You sound like a right-side ruffian. We're glad to have you. All right, folks, listen, that was a full slate of calls. Copper, you were like neck deep in callers there for a while.
Yes, I was.
I mean, probably calling in as fast as you could answer the phones.
Yep.
But that's interesting, and I love the fact that particular topic just engaged the audience there. Well, let's hit that break. We got to take Copper, give our team members a chance to speak their piece, advertise their wares, and do all the things it takes to support their business and this show. Listen, folks, we got a few more minutes to wrap this day up. Some of y'all are grabbing the car keys already. Stay with us. We got a few more things to cover. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, wrapping up a day with you. It's been a full day, man. What a slate we had today, Copper. I mean, it was like ping, ping, ping the entire time.
A lot of engagement. That's good.
A lot of, thank you. I said ping, ping, ping. Copper says a lot of engagement. That's, you have a far more loquacious ability to describe the thing than I did. I guess I've been playing with my grandson or something. Ping, ping, ping.
Yeah.
But, hey, let me ask you this, Copper. School choice. I know, I think you said you were homeschooled quite a bit, weren't you, when you grew up? No, or was it a private school you went to?
Yeah, mostly a Christian school.
Yeah, that's right. Because your dad was one of your teachers too, right?
He was. Yeah, my favorite.
All right. So you're looking at things, you had a successful experience, I take it? I mean, you sound like you're pretty well-educated.
Oh, thanks. I loved it. We had really small classes. Smallest class I ever had was four people, including myself.
Ooh. Woo.
So,
yeah.
It was kind of between a private school and a homeschool co-op, I guess.
Yeah, but it appears to have worked. Let me ask you this, though. So you're seeing things, you know, down the line. One day you've got to, you know, make a choice of where to send your own kids to school. Yeah. Do you have a druther? I mean, are you one of those who's bound to the private school setting? Do you see public schools as being an option based on what you know? What are you thinking?
No, I wouldn't consider it as an option. I would homeschool, or I would send them to a private school, or some combination would be ideal, since different things work for different kids. But
yeah, but that's also you having a say too, by the way. That's, I mean,
yes.
And that's the thing. That's the part that's missing so often in the school choice dialogue. When the teachers' union opposes it, or when those other opponents oppose it, they're typically saying they don't trust the parents to make a good decision for their kids. Yeah. And that's a big deal. That's a philosophical standpoint, really, in my opinion.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah, but I did have a logistical question.
Yeah.
So the taxes, do they all go to the education fund and then those are dispersed out equally or supposedly among school systems? Or is it each local tax, the local taxes are applied to their local schools?
You know, okay, great question. So here's what I expect the answer to be in most cases, all right? The revenues that are collected by the state are apportioned out based upon what they're supposed to go to. Like in this case, in Alabama, we have a separate education budget, and mm-hmm. things like sales tax, payroll tax, those feed the education budget. So those go into the ETF, they call it, the Education Trust Fund, Hopper, and then they are dispersed out based upon a formula to the school districts, and that is, I think that formula is based upon their enrollment. So so there's that piece. As for local taxes, like, for instance, when Baldwin County passed their ad valorem tax to increase the amount of localized funding for schools, I believe that's collected by the county commissions. And so the county government collects those and then acts much like what the state does at the big level. The county collects and apportions those revenues and sends them to where they're supposed to go. So you have a county comptroller or CFO who was handling that. And so that's my recollection. I'm pretty sure that's the way it's done. I know a number of other things that are funded, for instance, in some of the counties and the districts where I served as state senator, that's the way they handled it.
Okay, so that's why they were mentioning that if somebody tested in from a different area, then they would have to pay that additional tax. But then would you get a tax break if, say, you're from a nicer area and your kid drops out and you have to send them to a worse school? Do you get a tax break?
No, that's one of the aspects of choice.
Right.
Okay. The tax is based upon you living there, not necessarily on you participating in the education environment. So for instance, I don't have any kids of school age anymore. I still pay taxes here locally. So all said and done, the tax is paid because of your residence or because of the conditions upon which it's assessed, for instance, like a sales tax or an occupational tax or whatever. But the usage of it is, I mean, you're sacrificing that. So if you say, I'm going to send my kids to private school, you're still paying local taxes for education no matter what.
So is that a part of school choice then, having that ability to opt out?
Part of school choice. Some aspects of school choice allow what they call an education savings account, meaning that at the state level, at the very least, your tax dollars go with you, almost like they send the check in your name, you know what I mean? So that's one of the things that West Virginia did, and very cool. All right, my friend Copper, we got to go. Listen, folks, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM is WVNN. Right Side Radio is the show. Phil Williams, I am the host. Copper and I will be with you again tomorrow for a great day with the Grand Council and other aspects of Right Side Radio. We'll see you then.